Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is our Prophecy Reality Edition. And in this segment, we're going to continue with my little book, When the Third Temple is Built, the Rapture Play Will Begin. And last time we got to Chapter 7, Contemporary Times in the Revelation. Let's continue. So what does the Revelation say about recent and contemporary times? Here I insert an addendum that I wrote for a recently updated edition of H. Grattan Guinea's 1899 book, Key to the Apocalypse, a book I highly recommend for anyone interested in the seven divine interpretations of a symbolic prophecy for understanding the book of Revelation. Addendum 2017. Since H. Grattan Guinea's published the original Key to the Apocalypse in 1899, several major events which affect history and the prophecy of the Book of Revelation have occurred. Number one, the Vatican, or papacy, the head that was wounded on effect of the French Revolution, that wound was healed in 1929, when the Vatican once again regained its sovereign political status on the world stage and has moved to a prominent position amongst all the nations. Two, the status of America on the world stage has greatly increased to an undeniable place of prominence and power among all the nations. Three, the United Nations has been created as a worldwide governing authority, which continues to increase in power over all the nations. Let's take a look first at the Earth Beast. Interpreting the Earth Beast of Revelation 13 by the criteria in divinely given interpretations of the four preceding beasts as revealed in Daniel and the Apocalypse, or Book of Revelation, Daniel 7:3-6. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse from one another. The first was like a lion, the second like to a bear, and the third like a leopard. Compare this with Revelation 13, verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Now, we notice that all of these beasts come up from the same place, the sea. We also notice that all of these beasts' powers were original in themselves and only incorporated the others when they conquered them consecutively. The fourth beast devours the three beasts that were before it, and therefore inherits the attributes of the three before it, leopard, bear, and lion. One, we observe, each of these sea beasts, as they were introduced, was an original power in the earth. Two, any division of a beast may be represented by the introduction of heads, horns, and crowns in succession as you move from the body toward the heads and horns. And the body is always the same beast. Three, that these beasts rose up from the sea signifies that they all rose up from the same locality that was ultimately dominated by the Roman Empire. The fourth beast of Daniel 7 and the sea beast of Revelation 13. This is the locality specified for the origin of all the sea beasts. Introduction of the Earth Beast. Revelation 13:11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. 1. The Earth Beast is for the first time introduced as an original power at the same time when the sea beast has 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. The earth beast is not a division of the sea beast. 2. The earth beast did not rise up from the same locality as any of the sea beasts. Thus, we must not look at the area of dominion of the Old World Roman Empire for its place of origin. We must first look at the direct description and attributes of this earth beast given in the text to determine its origin and identity. 1. It is described as coming up out of the earth. This would be a clue as to its place of origin, as the symbolic earth is different from the symbolic sea where the four previous beasts rose up, inasmuch as actual earth or land is an opposite or different than sea or waters. We are given the interpretation of the symbolic waters in chapter 17, peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. In searching for a clearly symbolic use of the word earth in the Revelation, this author could find only one other reference at Revelation 12:16. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. The woman was spared from the dragon war on the remnant of her seed by a prepared place in the wilderness for the time and times and have a time. This prepared place would have been outside the governmental sphere of the Old World Roman Empire. So the conclusion would be that as the symbolic sea represents a locality that is densely populated, peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues, so the symbolic earth would represent the opposite, a locality that is a wilderness or was sparsely populated when the earth beast had its origin. When a tenth part of the papal kingdom fell, which tenth part E.B. Eliot identifies as the falling away of Protestant England from the papal states, many had been fleeing to the New World to escape persecution and papal inquisition in the same place where Protestant England eventually established 13 colonies. Canada, to the north, was a crown colony of the sovereign city of London. Mexico, down through all of South America, Latin America, was conquered on behalf of the Vatican by the papal vassals of Portugal and Spanish conquistadores. In the New World, the only power that rose up and came to exhibit all of the attributes of the Revelation 13 earth beast is the one that developed out of the 13 colonies planted by Protestant England, the United States of America. 2. The earth beast had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. These two horns demonstrate two equal and opposing powers at the origin of this beast, lamb-like and draconic in speech. The American Continental Congress adopted the Articles of Confederation, the first Constitution of the United States, on November 15, 1777. The present Constitution of the United States was written during the Constitutional Convention. Those that opposed it were able to get the Bill of Rights attached to it to preserve those liberties. It was signed on September 17, 1787. F. Tupper Saucy, in his book, Rulers of Evil, unquestionably exposes the hidden secret influence in the establishment of the U.S. Constitution, and more specifically, the concentration of power in the newly created head of this beast, the sovereign city of the District of Columbia. Though this power was founded upon many godly or lamb-like principles, the draconic influence would eventually turn it to come alongside the draconic power of the sea beast that infected it at its inception. The history of this alliance between these two beasts is foretold in the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation. 3. The earth beast exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. It is not insignificant that at the same time this first beast receives its deadly head wound, that the second beast rises in the new world, and in time comes to exercise all of the powers of the first beast before it, until it finally causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. It is all too evident that America is changing, as the scripture indicates that it would as this second or earth beast. As the Roman Empire was once the visible police power of the world, so today America, since World War II, has emerged as the police power of the world, and exercises all the power of the first beast before him, the Roman Empire. 4. We are also told that the second beast says to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. In other words, the empire of the city, that is the Vatican, using the wealth of America through its Federal Reserve coup of the U.S. Treasury, rebuilds the Roman world after World War II, then establishes the United Nations with its headquarters in New York City. In other words, the second beast of Revelation 13, which has its head in Washington, D.C., one of the cities of the empire, creates the image of the first beast, the United Nations, which will eventually require the allegiance of all. This allegiance, or worship, will be obedience to the United Nations implementation and enforcement of the One World Mark of the Beast monetary system, which will require the participation and numbering of all people, small and great, rich and poor, free and bond. The United Nations is an image through which the Vatican, that is, Papal Rome, may vicariously rule the world as it did before its head wound was inflicted. Let's move on to the seven kings of Revelation chapter 17, about verse 10. And there are seven kings, five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. First of all, verse 10, the angel time dates the sixth king or power as contemporary with John, that is, the present Roman Empire. Verse 11 identifies these kings from the Greek Bessalus as beasts. So we must look in the scripture for our enumerated beast powers. So as some believe pagan Rome to be the sixth and papal Rome to be the seventh, this cannot be for several reasons. One, papal Rome is not a separate beast. And two, papal Rome does not merely continue a short space, but in reality far exceeds the space of pagan Rome. Therefore, the sixth king beast is both Rome pagan and papal. The seventh had not yet come. there's only one additional beast that shows up in the Revelation, and that is the second, or earth beast, of chapter 13. The eighth power goes into perdition, therefore must be Rome, one of the seven. Therefore also the sixth, because she was contemporary with John. The seventh is a power that shows up for a short space at the end. The second, or earth beast, of Revelation chapter 13 must be that power because it is the only additional beast mentioned in the Revelation. The earth beast fills up a short space when the sea beast, or Rome, is apparently wounded as it were to death. Then the seventh, this earth beast, comes alongside Rome, the sea beast, and builds an image to it. Then all are caused to worship that image on the pain of death. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Daniel gives us the names of the three beasts previous to Rome in his chapter 8. Babylon, Medo-Persia, and Greece. This would require two more before these, plus the one yet to come to complete our count. It is about 95 AD when these words were spoken to John. Five kingdoms which once ruled over Israel had fallen. One, Egypt, into which Israel voluntarily entered and was subsequently enslaved. Two, Assyria, took the northern kingdom after Israel split. Three, Babylon, which completely dissolved Israel's self-rule. Four, Medo-Persia, which conquered Babylon and was followed by Greece. Greece was subsequently conquered by the terrible iron beast, Rome, number six. The and one is current with John at 95 AD. Seven is America, and the other is not yet come. America, the seventh kingdom, developed in the New World about the same time that Papal Rome received its wound by the sword. It is not recorded that the seventh, America, conquers the one before it or falls to a successor, only that it continues a short space. Eight is Rome, after the wound, as it were to death, was healed, is aided by number seven, who is also the second beast of Revelation chapter 13. Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border. It's our Prophecy Reality Edition, and we're going to complete our expose in my latest book, When the Third Temple is Built. This is a book I wrote for people who are becoming, well, dissatisfied with the whole seven-year left-behind rapture eschatology. And as an introduction to Reformed eschatology, it is quite amazing to me. While there are so many good Bible teachers and pastors out there that do a wonderful job of teaching on Reformed theology, they totally abdicate the Reformation by lock, stock, and barrel throwing out Reformed eschatology. But the Reformation was a twofold discovery. One being of Reformed theology, and that is they discovered Christ and faith in Him alone and the sufficiency of God's Word above any authority of man. And secondly, Luther and his fellows, even the pre-Reformation fathers, discovered Antichrist in the Roman Catholic Church. They first found a great apostasy. And then upon their they're being attacked by the Roman Catholic Church. They discovered the Antichrist in the papacy, believing that he who sat in the papal chair was indeed the biblical and historical Antichrist foretold by the scripture itself. Let's jump into chapter 8 here. Going forward in faith. In chapter 5, we reviewed the historicist interpretation of just the 6 vials. The futurists would have you believe that these 6 vials, along with all of the other calamities divulged in the entire book of the Revelation, is reserved for a 7 or 3.5 year period immediately before the return of Christ for his millennial reign. A mind filled with this misinformation would happily receive any proffered escape from such a prognosticated time of terror unlike any other. It is no wonder that so many have bought into the 7-year tribulation rapture deception. I was guilty of being one of those many. I accepted it all, hook, line, and sinker. But I hope that, like me, because you've read this far into this book, you have verified these things by the Word of God. You have been disabused of that great delusion. The subject of the book of Revelation, according to its inspired definition, things which must shortly come to pass. The Apocalypse is not a book of history or of doctrine, but of prophecy. To this its larger part is devoted. It treats of things which were future at the date of their revelation, and of things whose accomplishment was shortly to come to pass. Their chronological position did not lie in remote futurity. The time of their fulfillment was in the first century at hand. This idea of the speedy accomplishment of its predictions is again and again referred to throughout the prophecy, and appears at its close in the sentence, "The Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done." The Apocalypse is a revelation, not of remote events in which the Christian church from apostolic days onward had no practical interest, but of events which 1800 years ago were near at hand as to the commencement of their accomplishment. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of the prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. What a relief to know that even though there is no rapture escape, we may only suffer such things as all the saints of history were subject to. Some lived and died in relative peace. Some suffered deprivations, and others were tortured and martyred. Most of the prophecy in the book of the Revelation, including the 6 vials we reviewed in our chapter 6, have already been fulfilled in history. We are now near the end of the era immediately preceding the return of Christ for his millennial reign. There are a few major events yet to be accomplished. His return is only imminent following these closing events. 1. The establishment of an enforced universal mark of the beast financial system, which will likely be digital. 2. A subsequent inquisitional period to enforce that financial mark system by the image of the beast, the United Nations. 3. The fall of Mystery Babylon, the destruction of the whore that rides the beast by the 10 horn powers of the same beast. Then Christ returns for the final battle. After this battle, the millennial reign of Christ will begin. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Now remember our lesson from chapter 4 on the New Testament temple. We are God's chosen people, people from every nation. All over the planet make up this spiritual temple, or the kingdom of heaven on earth. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, Whoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So that the reader may understand approximately how long we have till the end of this era, I am including here the most recent edition of my blog post, What Year Is It?, as an appendix. And the several resources quoted in this book, as well as others, are available free at my website, crosstheborder.org/free. And if you would like to check out the appendix, it is a post on my website, and you can go there immediately, crosstheborder.org, and use the search box in the upper right-hand corner there. Just click on the magnifying glass there, or the search, and search for What Year Is It?, and you'll find what we have in the appendix. Or better yet, you can read the book for yourself by going to the free ebook tab there and requesting a copy of When the Third Temple is Built, the Rapture Play Will Begin. If you'd like to get a copy of this book, go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and there's a free ebook tab there. All you have to do is follow the instructions, then request When the Third Temple is Built. If you'd like to purchase a copy, go to the Get the Book tab there and follow the instructions there, and you can find it for your own library. Well, may the Almighty bless you and keep you as you continue in His kingdom day by day on the narrow way that leads to life. We'll see you next time.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the Third Temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn, the Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the Third Temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a reestablished Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more, using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on internet or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.